ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 39 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूत अनुग्रह कातरा ऋते त्वां सुहृदा घनं वै वैरं करम अवैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रहकातरा ऋते त्वं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करम वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते त्वं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करम वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते त्वं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करम वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते त्वं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करघ्नं वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते त्वं सुहृदं वै वैराकरम वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते त्वं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करम वैरिणाम। ननु भागवता नित्यं भूतानुग्रह कातराः ऋते सं सुहृदघ्नं वै वैरं करम कैर्विणाम्। Nanu Bhagavata Nityam Bhutanu Grahakataraha Rite Tvam Sohridaknam Vai Vairam Karama Vairinam.
Ladies,
Nanu Bhagavata Nityam Bhutanu Grahakataraha Rite Tvam Sohridaknam Vai Vairam Karama Vairinam Nanu Bhagavata Nityam Bhutanu Grahakataraha Rite Tvam Sohridaknam Vai Vairam Karama Vairinam Nanu.
Now.
Bhagavataha. Devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nityam. Eternally. Bhuta. Anugraha. Kataraha. Very much anxious to bestow benedictions upon the fallen conditioned souls. Rite, accept Tvam, yourself, Sauhrida Gnam, a breaker of friendship. Therefore, not countable among the Bhagavatas or devotees of the Lord. By indeed. Vairam Karam. You create enmity. Avairinam. Toward persons who are not enemies.
Does everyone know that there's, maybe this man sitting here needs a Tamil translation?
All the devotees of the Lord but you, this is Daksha Prajapati speaking to Narada Muni. All the devotees of the Lord but you are very kind to the conditioned souls and are eager to benefit others. Although you wear the dress of a devotee, you create enmity with people who are not your enemies, or you break friendship and create enmity between friends. Are you not ashamed of posing as a devotee while performing these abominable actions?
I hadn't said for him to sit down. I said he should get the translation. That wasn't the point. He's got the translation. Okay.
Purport. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narad Muni in the disciplic succession. You know what born means here? It doesn't mean that you give birth to criticism. It means you have to, it means to tolerate in this Conte is spelled differently also. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narad Muni in the disciplic succession. Through the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to train young people to become devotees and return home back to Godhead by following rigid regulative principles. But our service is appreciated neither in India nor abroad in the Western countries, where we are endeavoring to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. In India, the caste brahmanas have become enemies of the Krishna consciousness movement because we elevate foreigners who are supposed to be mlechas and yavanas to the position of brahmanas. We train them in austerities and penance and recognize them as brahmanas by awarding them sacred threads. Thus, the caste brahmanas of India are very displeased by our activities in the Western world. In the West also, the parents of the young people who join this movement have also become enemies. We have no business creating enemies, but the process is such that non-devotees will always be inimical toward us. Nevertheless, as stated in the Shastras, a devotee should be both tolerant and merciful. What's that? Titikshava karunikaha. Yeah. Devotees engaged in preaching must be prepared to be accused by ignorant persons. And yet they must be very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls. If one can execute his duty in the disciplic succession of Narad Muni, his service will surely be recognized. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshvabhidhasyati bhakting mai parang kritva mamai vaishyatya sangshayaha nachatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha bhavita nachame tasmad anyaf priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Let us continue preaching the message of Lord Krishna and not be afraid of enemies. Our only duty is to satisfy the Lord by this preaching, which will be accepted as service by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. We must sincerely serve the Lord and not be deterred by so-called enemies. In this verse, the word sauhridaghnam, a breaker of friendship, is used. Because Narad Muni and the members of his disciplic succession disrupt friendships and family life, they are sometimes accused of being sauhridaghnam, creators of enmity between relatives. Actually, such devotees are friends of every living entity, suhridam sarvabhutanam, but they are misunderstood to be enemies. Preaching can be a difficult, thankless task, but a preacher must follow the orders of the Supreme Lord and be unafraid of materialistic persons. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namasrishtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Vidyam vastavam atravastu, this is the real message of the Vedas. And here we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam a statement that Narada Muni is just a show bottle devotee. He's dressed as a devotee, but actually he is not a friend of others as devotees should be, but he actually creates enmity between others, dakshas giving him a verbal roasting. So are we to accept this as the absolute truth? Srimad Bhagavatam, right? You have to accept everything. You have to accept everything in Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, no. This statement is true in as much as it's a true narrative or description of what actually happened. In that sense, it's true. But the statements here of Daksha are all just, it's just like madness. He's krodhat bhavati sammoha, out of anger. He's become very angry. I hope most of you know what happened prior to this, that Daksha had, first of all, 1,000 sons called the Haryashvas, and he sent them off to do austerities at the Narayana Saras, at the juncture, the estuary of the Sindhu River. And Narad Muni came and specifically to perform austerities so that they could produce population. In other words, after the austerities, they're supposed to get married and increase the population. But Narad Muni saw they're just ripe for sending back to Godhead. So he went and preached to them and told them this whole material existence, it's all Maya, it's all nonsense, just go back to Godhead. So they did. So then Daksha had 10,000 more sons called the Shavalashvas and sent them off to the same place, and Narad went again and sent them back to Godhead. And then Narad went to Daksha, thinking that, well, now Daksha must be feeling miserable, it might be a good time to preach to him to get serious about Krishna consciousness. Daksha was miserable, but it was, you could say it was a preaching miscalculation. He wasn't ready to hear. But anyway, Narad, no one can harm him, so he tried anyway. And Daksha became extremely angry. He should have been happy, actually. My sons all went back to Godhead. Great! Wonderful! But he was very, very angry. And he accused Narada of being a false devotee. In the previous verse to this, he directly says, you are Hari Parshad. You are an associate of the Lord. He knew that Narad was an associate of the Lord, but he refused to accept that he could actually be a great devotee. Daksha was sure he was right. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. His Guru is Lord Brahma, his father, and had deputed Daksha to increase the population of the world. Increase the population means by sex. And from his mind also, Daksha generated some population. So that the living beings who are averse to Krishna consciousness, they can get an opportunity to be born. And Daksha, by him, all kinds of living beings came into being, not only humans. So Daksha had been deputed to do that by his, on the order of his guru. And all pious people would agree, yes, he should do that. That's a very good thing to do. He has to do that. Someone has to do it. So guru, sadhu, and shastra, that's according to shastra, one should, the grihasthas, they should produce children and then train them in the culture that they also have children. And apart from that, he directly got a boon from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who he had direct darshan of. He had prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead had personally appeared to him and blessed him for increasing the population, with the idea that the sons that he will produce, sons and daughters that he will produce, they will produce more. And that's all in the plan of the Lord. So Daksha was sure he was right, and that Narad was wrong. That Narad was just being irresponsible. You're disrupting the whole plan of the universe. Of course, Narad knows that the real plan of the universe is to send everyone back to Godhead. That's why are you filling up the universe? Why not just leave them asleep in the womb of, in the body of Vishnu? Well, they're brought to consciousness or brought awakened, ultimately, so that they can come to Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. But Daksha got stuck somewhere in the middle, on the level of piety, and the ultimate point. Well, in one sense, he knew that because he says after this that, you see, you're preaching to these young boys, but actually, it's good that they become Krishna conscious, but they should go through family life first and then understand the misery of family life. Then they can become detached. Then they can go back to Godhead. But Narad thinks, well, if they can go back to Godhead right away, then why bother with all of this? but Daksha says, no, they should go through all of this. So there was some disagreement. They're both highly pious, but Narad is clearly on a much higher level. And therefore, what Daksha is saying to him is madness. Although it may, in one, the process that Daksha says makes sense, that yes, self-realization is very good, but do it gradually. That's the general process. So in that sense, he's not wrong. But he shouldn't have overstepped his authority or his eligibility, adhikar langana. He did that with Shiva, and I've done with Narada. Basically, Daksha, although he was pious, he was what Yudhishthira Maharaj described himself as being, although Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually a pure devotee. Yudhishthira Maharaj described himself as griha murhadhi, one who is in family life and who has very dull and foolish intelligence, being attached to material enjoyment more than self-realization. Now, this was the position of Daksha. He was giving these arguments, actually you can become Krishna conscious, but you enjoy family. He was attached to enjoyment, material enjoyment, and he wanted to see his offspring also enjoy this material world. Just like we often see that when young men want to join our ashrams, then the parents say, oh, you do your bhakti, but do it at home. Why do you have to join the ashram? You can also have the best of both worlds. You can enjoy there, and why not enjoy? We bought this house, and we have all these facilities, and it's all meant for you. So we will be happy to see you enjoy, and we won't be happy seeing you not enjoying. And there's no enjoyment in this Krishna consciousness. So why don't you can do your puja and everything at home? their real intention is not that how you can be Krishna conscious, but their real intention is how you can enjoy material life. But they put it in some words which makes it sound that they're very pious. So Daksha thought that Narada's being very irresponsible. How will the population expand if Narada sends everyone back to Godhead? That's like people that say, well, what will happen if the whole world, if everyone in the world becomes Krishna conscious? There'll be no factories and there'll be, how will life go on? But if everyone goes back to Godhead, great. The world doesn't need to go on. Of course it will go on, because the people who say that, when people say that to me, I tell them, well, at least there's one person who's not going to become Krishna conscious. That's you. You've decided not to. Matyena Krishna Paratasvato Va. So there are plenty more like you, as if there's a great threat. You know, here we are sitting, 50 devotees in the ashram, and they're afraid everyone's going to become Krishna conscious. They become so afraid. Many would agree with Daksha. If we don't have the commentary on the Bhagavatam, we think, yeah, that's true. That's what I would think. You know, if someone just kidnapped all my children and sent them off back to Godhead, what's all this back to Godhead? You don't believe all that stuff, do you? All the, you know, four hands and all that. Come on, let's send them to the science college and get some real knowledge. People won't, at least in India, mostly people won't be so gross as to say that. But basically, that's what they think. That real, let's be real. The real world is that you have to work and get a job and earn money. That's reality. Well, it's true, but how many lifetimes are you going to go on doing that? If we put the emphasis, we have to earn a living, then we'll earn a living, and then we'll die, earn a dying. And if you earn a good living, you can have a good pompous death ceremony and have your photo put in the paper. It doesn't help anyone, and they're dead, to have their photo put in the paper, but they usually do that. And they pay to put it. Or then now here in Tamil Nadu, they put the poster on here and there with some tears and all this. And then you get born and then you have to work again until we decide that Krishna consciousness is more important than being a good citizen or being a good householder. You can be a good householder and chant Hare Krishna also. And you can be a good householder and go back to Godhead also. But if we think that being a good householder is more important than being a pure devotee, then we're closer to Daksha than Narada. So Daksha, he cursed Narada. He was so bold or foolish as to curse such a great sadhu. He cursed him that you cannot stay for more than 3 days in any place. Which is very, for a grihastha, it's a very bad curse, because you can't be a grihastha if you only stay 3 days in one place. Because grihastha, you have to be fixed in a house. But if you have to move all the time, then you can't be a grihastha. And then Narada thought, okay, great. More preaching. Just like one sannyasi, I believe that was Panchadravura Swami, wrote to Prabhupada and said that, see, I can't get visas for more than 2 weeks in any country. And Prabhupada said, good. And you can go to more countries and preach to more people. He thought it was a disadvantage. And Prabhupada thought, that's good, that's nice. Narada Muni could have counter-cursed him. Narada, he didn't even get upset. It's ridiculous. It's just like if someone comes up to you and says that you eat pickled children every day. You kidnap children, you kill them, you make them into pickles, and you eat children pickles every day. It's ridiculous. Why will you defend yourself? That saying is there, spitting at the sky. If you spit at the sky, you're blessed. The horrible sky, I don't like you, and you spit. And what happens? It comes back in your own face. That's all. You can't harm the sky, which is so far above you. So like that. Another example is a vulture cursing a cow to die, because the vulture is hungry and wants a cow to eat. And is cursing the cow, and the cow is just going on eating. He doesn't care what the vulture says. Vulture means most impious kind of birth. Very good eyesight. They can see some dead body from a long distance, but it's basically a very impious birth. There's a cow is pious birth. And what does the cow care if the curse? It gets cursed by a vulture. So Narad, he took the curse very happily. He didn't even have to bother. He could just stay where he could stay as long as he liked in any place, because it's like the vulture cursing the cow. The cow doesn't have to accept the curse. He doesn't have to accept the curse of Daksha, but he does. Although he stayed in Vrindavan to compose Narada Pancharatra, he had to stay in one place to do some writing. Vrindavan is beyond the jurisdiction of anything materialistic. So Narada could stay there. But he honored Daksha's curse, but he didn't dishonor it when he went to and stayed in Vrindavan. He didn't dishonor it because Vrindavan is beyond the jurisdiction of various curses. But Daksha was maybe thinking that if he only stays 3 days in one place, well, that won't be enough time to mess anyone's life up. Like, if I have more sons, in 3 days he can't do much harm. He doesn't know the power of a pure devotee. I was wondering, why did they let Prabhupada into Russia? When they knew he's the head of a religious movement, why did they give him a visa and let him in? With the damage he could cause, there's so much against religion. Actually, he did cause so much damage from the communistic point of view. That story is given in this Shyamasundara Prabhu's Chasing Rhinos with the Swami's second volume, that Shyamasundara preached to the people in the visa office and in the consulate in Bombay and convinced them, and they got the visa. But then the Soviets, the KGB and all this, they're not so naive. But I guess they thought, well, anyway, he's coming and he's just going to meet one professor and he won't have any public meetings and he doesn't speak Russian and he can't do any harm. They didn't know. In 1 week in Moscow, he changed the course of religious history. So Daksha underestimated Narad. This is interestingly, Narad, when he was preaching to the Shavalasvas, he also employed the same kind of reasoning that Daksha would have employed. He said to them, "You see, your elder brothers already went back to Godhead, so your younger brothers, you should follow the example of your elder brothers." It's not a spiritual argument, but he used that to convey. I guess the Shavalashvas didn't think, well, we should follow the order of our father and create more progeny. But anyway, Narad was preaching to them, and they understood this whole material existence is all nonsense, and we should go back to Godhead. Another example from the Bhagavatam, that's in the fifth canto, of a pious person who was neglected by an exalted devotee, was the father of Jarabharat. And Jarabharat, in his previous life, two lives previous to that, was Bharat Maharaj, great devotee of the Lord. But he fell down and became a deer. And then in his next birth, he was born in a Brahmin family. And his father was very pious. Jarabharat had the memory of his two previous lives, so he could understand. I really made a mess of things. I should have gone back to Godhead, but here I am again. If he had memory of his previous life, we can imagine that even when he was being placed in the semen of his father and he was within the womb and then he came out and then they're all petting him and, very nice, and he's sitting there. How many lifetimes do I have to go through all this? Just forget this, all this. And gradually his parent, because he decided to be just like he's just a complete fool, then as his parents came to understand this, how disappointed they became. His father was a very pious man and wanted to teach him how to chant Gayatri Mantra, how to live as a civilized human being, but Jarabharat deliberately acted as if he was completely useless. He was just like his father taught him, that you take a bath after passing stool. So Jarabharat deliberately did it round the other way. That if you want to pass stool, first take a bath and then you pass stool. So he deliberately acted as if he was completely mad. And in this way he gave much distress to his parents, who were pious people. And why did he do that? He could have been nice to them. But Jarabharat, he didn't want to take any chances. I already messed up previously. You may say, well, his father's pious, following Varnashram Dharma, he could have done that. Just like Daksha thought that, let my sons follow the Varnashram Dharma, and then they can become renunciants later. That's the system. Now they're first they were brahmacharis. Then they're supposed to be grihasthas, then they can be vanaprasthas, and then they can be sannyasis. So why you want to just skip all the stuff in between? So Jarabharat, he knew his father was a very pious man, but he didn't want to get mixed up with Varnashram. Well, it's the same thing. Why get mixed up with Varnashram if you can immediately go directly to Krishna consciousness? Now, that doesn't mean that people who are not on the level of topmost devotees, they shouldn't follow Varnashram. But it means that if you can actually come to the highest platform without any material attachments, fully attached to Krishna, then there's no need for following Varnashram. Etashabachari ar Varnashram dharma niskinchan khaya Laya Krishnaika Sharan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you can give up everything else, including Varnashram Dharma, and being completely detached from this world, you can take shelter of Krishna only. So if someone can do that, then they don't need to follow Varnashram. But then we have the example of Janaka Dayaha, of kings like Janak, who was so exalted that the original Adi Shakti, the original potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sita Devi, came as his daughter, but still he followed Varnashram for the sake of teaching others. But Jarabharat didn't. He said another example, which is inimitable. There are few people in this world who can do that. It's a stage of realization, not to be imitated. Later, Jarabharat, he instructed Rahugana. He was just going to be completely mad and this and that, but he saw Rahugana. He understood that Rahugana, the king, although Rahugana acted in a very haughty way with Jarabharat, that's described in the Bhagavatam, that Rahugana, he actually had great faith in discussions of transcendental topics, and knowing that Jarabharat instructed him, and at one point Jarabharat repeatedly or emphasized to Rahugana is don't trust the mind. Very important instruction. Because Jarabharat, he became victim in the life of Bharat Maharaj when he was living in the forest having renounced the world. He was practically there all the way back to Godhead. But he became attached to a deer. Yes. The deer had no other protector. He thought, well, it's my duty. By the arrangement of Providence, the Supreme Lord, now the deer has no other protector, so it's my duty to protect the deer. And in this way, gradually, he lost his Krishna consciousness. He didn't take help from his intelligence, but he got stuck on the platform of the mind, thinking that this is my duty, this is very nice, the deer is very nice, and in this way fell down. So Jarabharat, he didn't allow himself to get involved with his family members. After he was born in a pious Brahmin family, he thought, no, it's too dangerous. Then again, I'll be caught in affection, family affection, and all this. So better just full tivra bhakti, full-fledged. No need to talk to anyone, have anything to do with anyone. I've got this body. Let the body live. As long as it lives, I'll stay in this body and I'll go back to God. Let me aim for that. Didn't want to get diverted in any way whatsoever. So in this way, we can study the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so much instruction in them. Try to understand what's going on. We can conceptualize, I can use that word in this context, maybe it's a bit of an unusual use of the word, or just try to understand what's going on. Prati shloke, in every verse, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna tulla bhagavat bibhu sarva shray, prati shloke prati akare nana artha koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this Srimad Bhagavatam is just like Krishna, Krishna in the form of literature. Krishna tulla bhagavatam is all-powerful like Krishna, can give shelter to everyone. In every verse, in every syllable, there's so much meaning and so much depth. So we can read and study. Tachrinvan supartan vicharanaparo. We are enjoined to hear the Bhagavatam, study or recite it very carefully, and vicharanaparo, applying our intelligence to try to understand the subject matter. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Srimad Bhagavatam Purana, which is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Others may not take it very seriously, but the Vaishnavas like it very much. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate. Wherein is the topmost knowledge, which is sung by the paramahamsas, people who are on the level of Narada, or following in the footsteps of Narada, they can understand this. Those who are on the level of Daksha, those who have the attitude of Daksha, they won't be able to understand. Atra jnana vairagya sahitam naishkamyam avishkritam. Herein is how to naishkarmya, how to live in this world, perform activities without becoming entangled. All that is described, knowledge and detachment, so that we can live in this world without becoming attached to it. Therefore, yaj chinvan, we should hear it, supartan, recite it very carefully or read it very carefully, vicharanapara, applying our God-given intelligence, and the result of that is vimuchen naraha, then we can go back to Godhead. This is the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not just a matter of learning the verses and reading, but really trying to enter into the topics. There's so much to be understood everywhere. And actually, that intelligence will be given by Srila Prabhupada, by the gurus. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. The spiritual knowledge awakens within the heart by the mercy of the gurus. Sadhu Guru Prashade, Taha Jay Ashade, Shejane. Madhurja Prachurja, that's stated about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya. Where is that? Chaitanya Lila Shumadhur, Krishna Lila Shukapur. Duhe Mile Hoy Shumadhurja. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very sweet, and the pastimes of Krishna are like a little camphor we can add to the sweet rice, and then it becomes very, very, very sweet. And whoever tastes that, takes the prasadam of the sadhus and gurus, it's a play on words, because you take the prasad of the gurus, what comes from their mouth, but here it's Shadu Guru Prasade Taha Jayashai, who tastes that nectar? So the idea of tasting the food, but it's tasting the nectar through the ears. They can understand what is immense sweetness. So same thing, Srimad Bhagavatam. By the mercy of the gurus and the acharyas, the topics can be awakened in our hearts, and we can get insights into that and apply it to our own lives. Just like Srila Prabhupada here, he see how is this relevant? Daksha, some how many millions of years ago, cursed Narada, and what's it got to do with us here? But Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the same kind of thing's going on even now, because we're preaching and preaching pure Krishna consciousness, and the parents, it's the same thing. The parents of the people we're preaching to become Krishna conscious, they also become upset with us. And in India, the caste brahmanas are upset with us because we're making Westerners into brahmanas. That era is largely over, but when Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness in India in the 1970s, that was quite prominent. There was protests. How can these Western people become brahmanas and sannyasis? So Srila Prabhupada was an enemy in the West and an enemy in the East, but actually he was the best friend of everyone, as Narada is the best friend of everyone. It's just a fact of life that if we act for the benefit of crazy people, they may kick us and scream at us and try to harm us, maybe even try to kill us. Sometimes to help people, you have to act in a way that upsets them, because they don't know what's for their actual benefit. And the same thing's going on nowadays. And Srila Prabhupada makes the comment there about that, how the same syndrome is going on. So the Bhagavatam, it's not just some stories that we hear about something happened in the past. How does this relate to our lives now? It's the same kind of syndrome. It's going on everywhere. That's why the Bhagavatam, it's relevant in all times and all places and all circumstances, because Krishna consciousness is relevant in all times and all places and all circumstances. we can incorporate these teachings in our lives. Otherwise, we may end up being something more like Daksha than being like Narada. If we don't take the teachings of Bhagavatam seriously, and the teachings, especially as Srila Prabhupada describes in his commentary, then we may end up thinking like Daksha thought, that Krishna consciousness, pure devotion, that's it. But we're going to do our family life and enjoy and have a success and all these kind of things. That's what we're doing now, and afterward we'll become Krishna conscious. We may think like that. And actually, if we preach like that, we can make many devotees that you chant Hare Krishna and be happy and have a good house and a big car and a job and all these things, and it's wonderful. You can enjoy the world. There's nothing to enjoy in this world, says in Bhagavad Gita, but anyway, just a little bit. We might end up being more like Daksha, and that's not why Vyasadeva has included this in here, that we can all become mini Dakshas, but rather that we can follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni. And even while living in family life or whatever situation we're in, keep clearly as the goal of life to follow the footsteps of Narad Muni on the path back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. That's all I wanted to say just now. If anyone has any question, please ask it. Or comment. You've got plenty of time now, thanks to the government of Tamil Nadu. That's only Tamil Nadu, not all India. They closed all the colleges. The protest is all over India. It's spreading all over India. But the colleges are all closed down till Christmas and New Year. So your book distribution marathon is not going to happen in the colleges anyway. You can try doing it elsewhere. What can be done? Comments? Questions? No? Okay. Hare Krishna.